This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Hello, all you freethinkers. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And whether you believe in a soul or not, you have to love that song, Heart and Soul. Today on our interview, we're going to be talking with Susan Lesser, who's the daughter of the composer of that song, Frank Lesser. And Free Thought Radio, as you know, if you listen regularly, is the production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This show is being broadcast on April the 14th, 2012, in Madison, Wisconsin. It broadcasts on a number of cities, Grand Rapids and in Monterey, and of course it podcasts all through the natural universe.
And the Freedom From Religion Foundation is the producer of this weekly program, and FFRF is the nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, whatever you like to call yourself. We all disbelieve in the same God. And we work very diligently to keep religion out of government. And today we have kind of a treat. We're just going to do the entire show about Frank Lesser. I'm very delighted to have on the program with us his daughter, Sharon Lesser, who has...
Susan Lesser.
Excuse me. Who's the author of A Most Remarkable Fella, Frank Lesser and the Guys and Dolls in His Life. And so we're going to also be playing... a lot of music you're going to recognize.
And we've interviewed other composers and children and family members of Yip Harburg, for example, and Burton Lane, Lynn Lane, and Jay Gorney, and many others. And continuing in that tradition, we're going to talk about Frank Lesser. His name is spelled L-O-E-S-S-E-R, one of the great Broadway composers. Some people call him the most versatile. He did everything. He started off writing lyrics, but then he did both lyrics and music. He wrote 5 blockbuster Broadway musicals. Where's Charlie? He wrote Guys and Dolls, which I've seen in all these high school, since then, revivals. And I think your brother Ian said that they performed it at his college the year he graduated. The Most Happy Fella, the musical Green Willow, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And he's collaborated with all sorts of people. He worked with Julie Stein, with Hoagie Carmichael, with Burton Lane, Arthur Schwartz, among many others. And I'm a jazz pianist. I play in a lot of bands and in venues around town. And we do an awful lot of Frank Lesser songs, including one of my favorites, On a Slow Boat to China, Two Sleepy People, Heart and Soul, which you just heard, which I think that was one of the first songs I ever played on the piano. Heart and Soul, I Fell in Love with You. I Don't Want to Walk Without You. Spring Will Be a Little Late This Year. They're Either Too Young or Too Old, and Baby, It's Cold Outside, one of my favorites. It won the Academy Award in 1948. We have on the phone with us Susan Lesser. She wrote a remarkable memoir about her dad, and the memoir is called A Most Remarkable Fella, Frank Lesser and the Guys and Dolls in His Life. Susan has been working in books her whole life, she said, in publishing and in librarian and as an author. So, Susan, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I could have kept reading a list of another 300 songs that your dad wrote.
Yeah.
what a mark he made in the world.
So, indeed.
When did your book come out?
My book came out in 1993, so it's been quite a while, 11 years.
Well, I have a version that's been updated since then. I think in 2000 it was also updated.
Well, it wasn't really updated, but you're talking about the paperback.
The paperback, that's
right. That came out, yeah. There were tiny changes, but really it's the same. It's the same book. The only thing that's changed is that now I consider myself an artist as well as a writer.
An artist. So you had some of your dad's doodling talent?
I guess so.
Wow.
Some. I'm nowhere near as talented.
Now, I want to... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want to say, although your dad had a remarkable life, and it's amazing to talk about, your book is a remarkable book. It's not just some dry biography. You were there. You lived it. You felt... It's almost like looking through the eyes of a little girl, watching this whole world swing around her. And did you know you were the daughter of famous parents?
I thought all adults were famous entertainers. And I thought that when I grew up, I was going to be a famous entertainer, too. And I was sadly disappointed in my teenage years when I realized that life wasn't like that.
Well, there's a picture in the book of you having a birthday party in the backyard with Liza Minnelli and Judy Garland.
And mother,
all these other children of famous, I guess, Hollywood and Broadway personalities. It must have been fun, though.
Yes, I had fun as a kid, but I did think that the whole world was like that, you know, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, famous people, fancy birthday parties for kids. I thought that was how the world lived, and it really wasn't until we moved to New York and when I was 11 that I discovered that the world had a lot of different layers and a lot of different people in it.
Well, the reason we're interested, and the reason I'm interested in Frank, especially not just because of the music, I've always loved his music, and we'll play some of it later in the show. But as I was reading your bio, I was struck by how he was, like a lot of the other composers, really interested in this world. He was not religious. Mm-hmm. You write that his family was cultivated intellectual. They didn't deal in theology. I don't think, from what you write, that he was a necessarily anti-religious person, but he was just a non-religious person who cared mostly about this world.
Yes, I would say that. In fact, he wrote, I write for the here and now, not for posterity. It's an interesting point about religion and him. His parents were actually anti-Semitic Jews who wanted nothing to do with any association with being Jewish, even though they were. And my father took on a kind of Jewish persona, I think, and I'll never know for sure because I didn't even realize it until I thought about it way after he had died. I think partly in response to them, because he was quite a rebel, and also because the business, the entertainment business, was dominated by Jews and he wanted to fit in. But he never, as far as I know, talked about God, you know, as it was much more a cultural association that he made, an identity that he created.
Well, I notice this is maybe similar to what happens in a lot of other biographies, Dorothy Fields and Jerome Kernan, that is that a lot of the parents thought going into show business was kind of a low life. Was it something of a disappointment or something?
Oh, yes, because his parents were very cultured. His father was a piano teacher and a musicologist. His half-brother was became a very well-known musicologist and concert pianist, Arthur
Lester. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were all very snobbish about what was acceptable and what wasn't, and what my father chose was really not acceptable to them.
Well, you write that your father grew up in a house seething with intellects. It was Goethe his mother read him at bedtime, not religious.
Not Shalom Aleichem.
So
he didn't rebel against that general principle, I guess, but... Now, he did write that hugely successful war song, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Yes, he did, but I don't know that he, you know, that was a quote by a Navy chaplain. Mm. He didn't make that up. He just thought that would be a good starting line.
And probably, probably thought it was quite ironic, too.
You know, a lot of people have asked me about that song, you know, and saying, how could a man like Frank Lesser write a song that sounds religious? And I agree with you. I think it is ironic and not, also patriotic.
Because no matter what you believe, you got to do practical things in life.
Now, I wonder if you could tell us, before he died, he left instructions. What were his instructions?
Oh, I can read you his instructions if I can find it. I have the book in front of me.
I think first there was no funeral, right?
No funeral, no, he wanted nothing of any kind. Beyond the time necessary for medical and legal confirmation of the fact that I have indeed departed this life, I wish my remains viewed by no one. I would like my remains turned over to an organization licensed to cremate. The ashes are to be disposed of. No ceremony of any kind marking the event of my death, nor any gathering of people pertinent to the occasion of my disappearance, etc.
And then he writes, no religion, no speech making, no coffin selecting, no flower sending.
That was like my father. He was the same way. He did, I think, say, if the immediate family wants to go to the grave, that's okay.
So before we go, we have to take a break, but before we go, I want to play this hard to find, and you helped me to find it, actually, the song that won him the Academy Award, Baby, It's Cold Outside, one of my favorite songs, which I've heard sung by 20 or 40 different people. Can you just briefly tell the story, and then we'll actually play your mom and your dad singing that song before it became famous?
Yes, definitely. It's a great story. They used to go to these bi-coastal parties in New York and in California, and the rule was, in the entertainment business, you had to bring an act. And he wrote Baby, It's Cold Outside as a party song, and they performed it. And they were a big hit. My mother used to say it kept us in caviar and truffles for years. Hmm. They were a big hit. They played and sang it, performed it at every party, and they were really adorable doing it. Luckily, it is recorded, and we'll hear it. But then, after about 4 years, he wrote it in 44, he sold it to the movies, and it broke my mother's heart briefly until he won the Academy Award for it. It was sung by Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban in a movie called Neptune's Daughter, and my mother just walked around muttering their names. How could he do this to me? But then, as I said, it won the Academy Award, and she got over it.
Well, let's listen to your mother, Lynn, and your father, Frank Lesser, performing Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Hey, baby, where you going?
I really can't stay.
But, baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away.
But,
baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been so happy that you dropped in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
But, beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So, really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pause.
The neighbors might
think.
But,
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I seem to be
in. Your eyes are like starlit sin.
Some crazy spell.
Take your hat. Your hair looks
I
swell.
I ought to say no.
You mind
no,
if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Baby, make my conscience your guide.
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Baby, come back.
But I simply must
but
go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
so
been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window. at that
my
storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look
delicious. My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves upon a tropical
my
storm.
My maiden aunt's mind is
gosh,
vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
Baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
Up to your knees out there. I thrill
bad,
when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
The fake of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you're caught pneumonia and die,
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt,
oh,
baby.
But it's cold outside.
And that is Frank and Lynn Lesser singing. Your mother was very talented too, Susan. What a voice.
Yes, she had a lovely, sweet voice. Yes.
Well, they met in the theater, didn't they?
They met when my mother was, she wanted to be a singer.
We have to take a break, Susan. I'm sorry. We'll come back and
okay.
We'll talk some more about that. We're talking with Susan Lesser about her book,
okay.
A Most Remarkable Fella, Frank Lesser and the Guys and Dolls in His Life. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gillard.
And stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gillard, and we're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We hope today you'll join us at ffrf.org, and we are speaking with the daughter of Frank Lesser, who is a Broadway composer. He wrote songs and lyrics, right, Dan?
Yeah, he did both.
And a portrait by his daughter, Susan Lesser. Welcome back to the show, Susan.
Hi.
And
glad to be back.
We don't have much time, but we wanted to talk a little bit about the musical that Wonderful Copenhagen is in.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a movie, and he wrote the songs for it. It's really a dumb movie, but the songs and Danny Kaye make it.
Yeah.
It's cute to watch Danny Kaye sing those clever lyrics.
And I want to say, I remember seeing that as a little girl on TV. You know, it was played on TV, and I still remember a lot of the lyrics from seeing it once. That's, you know, Inchworm, that's a successful song.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I think we have a little bit of Danny Kaye singing.
Well, that song became, the song about Copenhagen when they're on the boat coming into Denmark, that song was, you write in your book that song was embraced by the Danes. It's like a municipal anthem or a?
Well, yeah, and especially they played it when he went there on a visit and it followed him everywhere.
Well, here's,
yes, they loved it.
Here's the tune.
Merry night, let us clink and drink one down to wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, saw the old queen of the sea.
Once I sailed away, but I'm home today,
singing Copenhagen, wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen for me.
Well, what a fun movie that was to watch. We're talking with Susan Lesser. I guess I should say that Frank Lesser was the father of Susan Lesser, who wrote, of course, Heart and Soul, I Fell in Love with You, many songs. If I Were a Bell, I'll Know, the movie, the musical Guys and Dolls, which we'll talk about Guys and Dolls when we come back after the break. Susan Lesser's book is A Most Remarkable Fella, Frank Lesser and the Guys and Dolls in His Life. I'm Dan Barker, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord, and we'll be right back to talk with Susan Lesser more about her fascinating dad and all of his lovely songs.
Free Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
Standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Than standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and that's the Four Lads singing Standing on the Corner, one of the many hit songs written by the composer, songwriter, Frank Lesser. And we're continuing our conversation with his daughter, Susan Lesser, the book that she wrote, the memoir about her life with growing up with her famous parents, A Most Remarkable Fella, Frank Lesser, and the Guys and Dolls in His Life. So welcome back again, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
So you write in the book that when your dad was a struggling young songwriter wondering, you know, if he was going to have any success, he wrote a song. Was it Julie Stein that he worked with?
When he was really young, you mean?
Did I Don't Want to Walk Without You.
Oh, no, he wrote... I think he did write it with Julie Stein.
Yeah, I think it was Julie Stein. It sounds like Julie Stein. But you tell in the book about how... Irving Berlin, the great, another great composer, came in and heard
and
that
another,
song.
Another non-religious composer.
Yeah, that's right. Another non-Jewish, Jewish, non-religious composer. he heard that song and he told these two young men, and he was this venerable, you know, songwriter. He told them, "That's the best song I have ever heard." And of course, how did your dad respond to that?
I don't remember how he responded
well,
to it.
Well, let's
I imagine he was quite complimented.
Well, let's listen.
Yes, I'm sure he was.
Well, here's a little bit of the second version, the excerpt version of Helen Forrest playing with the Harry James, that song, I Don't Want to Walk Without You.
All our friends keep knocking at the door. They've asked me out. 100 times or more, but all I say is leave me in the gloom, and here I stay within my lonely room, 'cause I don't wanna walk without you, baby. Walk without my come back, or you'll break my heart for me.
Yeah, amazing song. I can see how Irving Berlin would have just loved that. And it has such staying power. That was Helen Forrest singing I Don't Want to Walk Without You. And that was the Harry James Orchestra.
You know, I can see, I remember what he said now about it, if you want that quote. Irving Berlin came in today and spent a solid hour telling me that Walk was the best song he ever heard. I was flattered. He played the song and sang it over bar by bar, explaining why it's the best song he ever heard. I was flattered like crazy then. Maybe he'll take an ad in Variety about it.
An hour?
Yeah.
Maybe he was a little threatened.
Maybe.
Well, according to your book, your dad really loved music, but he loved the business, too. He was really making it work mm-hmm. as a songwriting business. And when he had that first big hit, Praise the Lord and Pass Ammunition, he put over this, his door his name Lesser, Lesser, but the S's were dollar signs because he now started, which I thought was cute, and he knew that he finally had made it with songs like that.
That was the first song that he officially wrote the music to. That was the music for that was originally a dummy tune that was that lyricists use to this day to set a rhythm for the lyrics. And he was looking for a composer, but his friends and my mother said, "No, it's good. Leave it. Leave the song."
I bet they were kicking themselves that they didn't after it became such a big hit. He didn't have to share royalties then.
I'm going to give away something. I'm going to read your book, but I haven't read it yet, so I don't have the advantage here. But was he already a successful songwriter when you were born, or were you sort of growing up with this?
Yes, he was a successful songwriter. I was born in 1944. He was a successful songwriter, yes. But he was writing with other people. He was not writing music. And it wasn't until, in 1948, in 1944, he was writing his own songs.
But he was just starting to when you were born. He was just starting to do that as you were born then.
Yeah, during the war, he began writing his music.
Well, when did Guys and Dolls come out? Was the 50s or was that the 40s?
That was 1950, yeah. That was the year my brother was born, and I was six.
Must have been very exciting for you.
I guess it was, but I have a very dim memory of it. I remember a couple of numbers from the show. But I was in California, and our parents were going back and forth from New York, and I would come to New York occasionally to be with them. And I know I was at the opening night of Guys and Dolls.
Oh.
I have a very, very vague memory of it.
Well, from that same album that you found with some hard-to-find music of your dad, the one we just heard before on your mom singing, let's mm-hmm. listen to Frank himself singing my favorite song from Guys and Dolls is... I'll know. Was it Gene Simmons and Marlon Brando that sang it in the movie? But but I like the composer himself singing it. Let's listen to Frank Lesser singing I'll Know from Guys and Dolls.
I'll know when my love comes along. I'll know then and there. I'll know at the sight of her face how I care, how I care, how I care. And I'll stop and I'll stare. And I'll know long before we can speak. I'll know in my heart. I'll know. And I won't ever ask, am I right, am I wise, am I smart? But I'll stop and I'll stare at that face in the throng. Yes, I know when my love comes along.
What a lovely song, I'll Know.
It is. Let me just correct what I said about his fame and fortune. He was hot in Hollywood when I was born, but he longed for Broadway. And with Where's Charlie, that was his first show, he started to get a really fine reputation on the East Coast. And then with Guys and Dolls, which I'll Know is from, that was the peak of his career, I think, Guys and Dolls.
I've read that a lot of those composers had mixed feelings about Hollywood. It paid the bills and it gave them a lot of work, but it didn't give them the control and the creative artistic that they wanted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He didn't like the system. He didn't like not controlling his his own work. And in fact, he started publishing his own music, which Irving Berlin had started doing also, and he kind of imitated Irving Berlin.
For doing that.
That.
Now,
yeah.
We have another break coming up here, but if your dad were alive, I would want to shake his hand right now for saving my sanity every December, because as a performer, all these holiday songs, I think, are so insipid, most of them. But then I always, wherever I am, I play What Are You Doing New Year's. Now, I know that wasn't a New Year's Eve or holiday song. It was just part of but all on its own, I think that's just a wonderful song. Can we listen to a little bit of Johnny Mathis singing that song?
Fine with me.
Sure, okay.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Ah, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder who's not. When it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the New Year's Eve.
And that's Johnny Mathis singing the Frank Lesser song, What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? So I'll thank him posthumously then, Susan, for for that. I know, yeah, a lot of musicians agree with me. A lot of musicians agree with me about the quality music that's hard to find, though.
What were you going to say, Susan?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker. We are interviewing Susan Lesser about her great book about her dad, Frank Lesser, a most remarkable fella. And we'll be back in just a couple seconds.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
Well, here we are, out of cigarettes, holding hands and yawning. Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Here we are in the cozy chair, picking on a wishbone from the refrigerator, just a few sleepy people with nothing to say, yet too much in love to break away.
And that's Della Reese singing the song Two Sleepy People, written by Hoagy Carmichael and Frank Lesser. And we're continuing our dialogue with Susan Lesser, the daughter of Frank, about her book, A Most Remarkable Fella. And Susan, in the book, you tell a little anecdote about how that song was written one day when Hoagy and your dad were struggling with lyrics. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, yes, I do. My mother and father and Hoagy Carmichael and his wife were together, and they were, Frank and Hoagy were at the piano trying to come up with a song, and they worked and worked and worked until, oh, 3 in the morning, and they gave up, and they were at the door, and my mother, I think, said, although my mother takes credit for saying, look at us, four sleepy people, and my father and Hoagy Carmichael looked at each other and said, that's it, and went back inside and wrote the song.
So they should get a nickel of royalties for their suggestion, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Was your dad a night owl? Did he do a lot of his writing at night?
He had very strange hours. He only slept about 3 or 4 hours at a time. So he would say, go to bed at 12 or 1 and get up at 4 and have breakfast and do some writing and take a nap around 9 and, you know, get up around noon and take a nap until 4. You know, he was pretty much up all the time.
Well, isn't there a picture in the book of you with him at the piano, and he'd already been up for many hours, you said. There's a picture of you, and you're coming in, getting up in the morning.
A little girl.
Yeah, looking at your dad playing the piano.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have much time, but we want to talk about The Most Happy Fella and, of course, how to succeed in business without really trying. So The Most Happy Fella came after Guys and Dolls, right?
Yes, it was 1956, and we all moved to New York. My parents got divorced, and my mother produced The Most Happy Fella with Kermit Bloomgarden. My father wrote the music, the lyrics, and the book. It was sort of a major achievement for him, because it also used a lot of classical forms, a lot of opera forms, which he was both praised and criticized for. Some people thought it was like a too highly decorated wedding cake of a show.
Oh, they say that about all the composers. You're too creative. They said that about Gershwin.
Yeah.
What are some of the songs out of The Most Happy Fella?
My Heart Is So Full of You, Rosabella. You played Standing on the Corner.
Oh, that's right.
Big D is from that. I'm sure there's so much music. There is so much music in that song.
And then How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. I think we've all heard of that. Nice short title of a musical.
Yeah.
Kind of like A Funny Thing Happened.
Of course, that's just gotten a big revival.
Yes, yes, it was. It's a very nice revival and doing very well, I'm happy to say.
I Believe in You came out of that musical.
Yes. The thing about the songs in that show is they're all ironic. And even I Believe in You, which has come out as a romantic song in the show, it is a guy singing to himself in the mirror. So all of the songs are jokes. It's a skewering of the big business and the 50s, and he wrote the music. I think it only took him 6 months to write the music. He did not want, and initially he didn't even want to do it, but Abe Burrows, a good friend, convinced him to do it.
Good solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's the bold, brave spring of a tiger that quickens your walk. Oh, I believe in
when my faith in my fellow.
And that's Michelle Lee singing the song I Believe in You from the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Well, this has gone too fast, Susan. There's so much more to talk about.
But we're out of time. And so we've been talking with Susan Lesser, a most remarkable fella, about her father, Frank Lesser. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
And thank you to Ben, our temporary engineer for the day and producer, and for Buzz Kemper for announcing the show. If you want to hear more about Free Thought Radio, go to our website. It's ffrf.org/radio.
And we would encourage you to get more information about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Join us. Ask for a sample copy of the March Free Thought Today newspaper, or call 1-800-335-4021. The Free Thought world is a fascinating one, as you just learned. And join us next week for more blasphemous broadcasting and rational radio.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.